Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, church, and welcome back to episode 2 of our new Rhythms Finding Rest for Your Souls message series. Big welcome to everyone joining us online today, as well as those of you that are here in the house. We're so glad that you've joined us. Last week, when we started our series, we looked at how having a healthy soul is a key to being a healthy person. As human beings, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And at the center of who we are is our soul, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. And so you don't have a soul, you actually are a soul. It's who you are. It's also important to understand that God has a rhythm or a pattern for our lives to help us stay on a daily basis in step with His Spirit, always growing in our thinking, in our decision-making, and in the way that we feel. 3 John 1:2, the Apostle John was speaking from his heart when he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So as we study how Jesus lived during his time on earth, we can see that his life definitely had a healthy rhythm to it. The way he worshiped, the way he developed relationships, and the balance he had of work and rest in his life. He lived in such a way that kept him in sync with the Father, both living and existing in perfect harmony. And the Bible has plenty to say about the soul, because if it's healthy and strong, we can literally navigate anything. And today, people search for rest in a million different places and usually end up in a place being pulled away from God's perfect will for their lives. Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. Not God plus this or God plus that, but in Him alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been shaken a few times in my life, which must mean that from time to time, I've sought to find rest in other ways. And so clearly, I still have some work to do. We all do. But the statement, "I will never be shaken," is a pretty bold statement to make. Clearly something that we can work towards and hope for, but it has everything to do with where we find our rest. You see, if the unshakable one abides in me, then never being shaken actually becomes a possibility. But if the things I look for rest in can be shaken, they most definitely will be. Rhythms and patterns found in Scripture and life can help us stay in sync with God. And if you want a healthy love for God through worship, if you want healthy relationships in your life, if you want that healthy work-life balance, that rhythm of rest that you need, you're going to need a healthy soul. And learning how to lead and feed your soul will protect you in the long run. Jesus lived a life that demonstrated a spiritual rhythm that can help us find lasting health and growth in our lives. So today I want to zero in on our relationships, on the connections that are essential to living in a rhythm of rest. Now, nothing affects our lives as much as relationships do. We were created for community, to cultivate the kind of relationships where we can celebrate our joys with one another, celebrate milestones and achievements, as well as honestly from time to time sharing our burdens and our struggles. But we have to do more than just reach out to others. We need to learn to begin to live our lives with one another. This was a truth that really was one of the successful keys to the Apostle Paul's establishment of incredibly supportive relationships. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, he says, "We loved you dearly, so dearly, that we gave you not only God's message, but our own lives too." In other words, they were living that message in their lives. And here was a man who every time he wrote to the church, he would mention a name, somebody that he had developed a relationship with, a friendship with, somebody that he valued. And so my challenge to you, even as we look at Scripture today when it comes to the significance of our relationships, is to begin to commit yourself to getting past the surface talk when you're around those you value and become more interested and engaged in those people's lives. You see, true authenticity happens when the masks come off, right? When our conversations get deeper and our hearts get vulnerable. Lives are shared. Accountability is even invited during those times. And that's when really God's love flows within us. This is when Christ followers in our church community become more like family, trusted friends that you can count on, where sometimes one simple call to one of these people can make all the difference in the world in a moment that counts. You know, I'm thankful for those kind of relationships in my life. This week, I connected to a couple who have been those kind of friends to Susan and I for many years. Now, they live in the States, so we don't always see them or spend as much time with them as we'd like to. But from time to time, digitally, we're able to connect. And this week was one of those opportunities where we were able to Zoom together in kind of a small group for leaders and spend some time. Now, as a bishop, he has been a trusted pastor to pastors for many years. And he wanted to challenge us in some areas that I think we all need to be aware of. But one of the things that was on his heart is what's next. Not what's next as in what am I going to do with my day tomorrow, but from a spiritual perspective, what's next? And then he talked about the things that prevent us from stepping into what God has for us. And one of the points that he mentioned really stuck out to me as we were continuing with this series today. One of the things that prevents us sometimes from stepping into what's next in God is a lack of clear covenant relationships. Now that really was significant to me, but for some of us we may go, well, what is a covenant relationship? I know what a meaningful relationship is, but what does covenant mean? Well, the concept of covenant is ancient. It has its roots in the Bible. And in this context, a covenant is a binding agreement between two parties, both having certain responsibilities, but both benefiting from that kind of relationship. This was more than a simple contract or like a business deal. It was a meaningful relationship that runs much deeper, kind of like a marriage relationship. God made covenant with Noah, with Abraham, and eventually with all of Israel. And he continues this meaningful covenant relationship with all of us through his son, Jesus. You see, clear covenant relationships, the kind of meaningful relationships that we can count on and people that we can trust in our lives. When we have these kind of relationships, that's when the walls of indifference and apathy begin to kind of fall down. These are the kind of friends in your life that want God's best for your life. You see, when we make room for people like this in our lives, that's when true change begins to happen. When we make room for others, we discover the best in those people, and they discover the best in us. But you know what? If I was honest, I understand that it's easy over time to withdraw sometimes as life happens. And we work through the emotions of unmet expectations. When we experience the hurt and the pain of broken trust, of misunderstanding, of even betrayal, I think some of us begin to start shutting down just to protect ourselves. You see, self-preservation overrides the desire within us to connect, and we find ourselves stuck again and again and again, unable to move forward. But the good news is this condition is subject to change. But this kind of change requires a spiritual solution because it's a spiritual problem. And the sooner we realize that our relationships are spiritual, the sooner you and I will experience lasting change in these areas of our lives. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, backing up right to the beginning of the book. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." In other words, let's hardwire them for community, for relationships. You see, God is not just a he, but a we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can actually pull that off successfully. The Bible says, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." Now, this is very important because this is the first thing that God ever said to his creation. The law of first mention reveals to us the importance of what God is saying here. Go and reproduce after your own kind. Multiply. Not just physically, but spiritually, relationally. That's why our small groups here at Calvary are all about multiplication and the strengthening of the relationships that God has placed within our lives. God is generational, and he's orchestrating his entire kingdom through a series of strategic relationships. Relationships are no accident. They're all a part of God's design. And what he's trying to accomplish on earth is all through relationships. That's why the enemy works overtime to blow up our relationships, to cause division, to cause problems, because he desperately wants to stop this plan of generational blessing by misaligning relationships so that he can bring in generational curse. That's why God sent his son to break the curse in your relationships, to make all things new, to bring back those relationships into a place of alignment. Jesus restored the healthy rhythms of relationship, helping us to find rest for our souls instead of stress for our souls. So, relationships are spiritual. As a matter of fact, the Bible starts and ends with that very truth. And our relationship choices are absolutely critical. Who you surround yourself with makes not only a difference here on earth, but for eternity. The people we call friends are important because our relationships, they influence our rhythms in connecting with God and finding the rest that we need for our souls. If you want life change in any area, I have found you can't do it alone in a vacuum. Proverbs 27:19 says, "A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses." Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Now, let me give you a simple checklist to evaluate your friendships. Number one, am I nurturing important relationships? In other words, am I caring for them, feeding them? Am I investing into those important relationships within my life? You see, relationships of value require effort on your part. I love what Joyce Meyer once said. She said, "We can improve our relationship with others by leaps and bounds if we become encouragers instead of critics." You see, the enemy wants us to tear one another up and abandon those important relationships that God has given you. And those relationships never seem to stay where you left them last. This is a rhythm that you need to constantly work at, investing in those relationships. But the breakdown of those kind of relationships, the ones that you need the most, will begin to exhaust your mind, your will, and your emotions. Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 14 says, "Serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Second thing on the friendship checklist is, am I severing harmful relationships? The truth is, some of you have friends and coworkers that you may need to distance yourselves from, because when we get too close and our influence is not quite as strong and theirs becomes even stronger, there's a reproductive process that goes into motion that is difficult to stop. Students, listen to me, especially for you. When you invest in what God is doing in your life, it may require stepping away from harmful relationships that are pulling you down from what God has for you and pulling you away from knowing him in a deeper way. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Toxic relationships are disruptors of healthy rhythms in your life. We need a revolution of our relationships. And then the third thing, and this is very important if you're committed to growth in all that God has called you to do. Am I initiating meaningful relationships? The truth is, there are relationships that you don't have today that you need. Don't avoid these relationships that require some effort to develop. I hear people all the time, I say, I don't know if I want to go to a small group. I'm not comfortable talking to people. Well, unfortunately, the only way to develop these kind of relationships in your life is to communicate. It's a give and take. And there will come a time in your life when the storms of life, they hit hard. And I guarantee you, you're going to want those kind of meaningful relationships to help you get through and navigate those difficult days. But trust me, don't wait until the storm hits, because then it's too late. Be deliberate, be intentional, start right now. But again, that's why small groups here at Calvary are so critical in accomplishing not only the mission of our church, but the development of disciples within the context of the church community. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So you know what? Let's reflect Christ to one another. Okay, let me close by saying this. The most important relationship you will ever make is with Jesus. He doesn't just want to be your God, he wants to be your friend. There's an intimacy there. And I think the words of Christ to his disciples sum it up best. John 15:15 says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." Today is the day of intentional connection and decision. Some of you need to invest in relationships that God has placed in your life, those important relationships. Some of you need to maybe walk away from certain relationships that are toxic, that are pulling you back. And some of you need to initiate some new relationships. And the most important of those relationships, obviously, is the one where you connect with Christ. So today I want you to be bold and to make a relational decision for eternity as we pray together. Father, we thank you today for the people that you've placed in our lives. We pray that we would be intentional in our investment in their lives, that you would give us wisdom to know the relationships that are unhealthy that we need to distance ourselves from, and reveal to us, Lord, some of the relationships that maybe we're lacking, that we need, so that you would help us to be healthy in our lives, healthy in our mind, will, and emotions. Today, I pray for those that don't know you, that Father, in this moment, they would make a decision for eternity to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, to pray these simple words, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm thankful that forgiveness will change my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. If that prayer was something you prayed from your heart, then today it's the best decision that you've ever made, a decision that will last truly for eternity. I pray, God, for every situation that's represented, for those that are listening on the broadcast or the podcast today, or those here in the house, that wherever there is relational strife or friction, where there's division, that God, you would bring healing, that you would bring unity, that we would come together with your love and move past those moments that seek to divide us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God's best to you all. You know, I would ask you also, if you would, to be praying for Turkey and Syria. This past week, as you know, they were hit with a devastating earthquake. And so we're talking to our regional director, Bob Cave, and our national overseer within Turkey this week to get the details as we assess the situation and look at what we can do. So for now, be praying. Moving forward, we'll keep you posted with how we can be a part of assisting there. But let's not look at prayer in this situation as our last resort, but our first response, that we begin to pray and believe for God's hand in this difficult time. Love you all. We'll see you again next week on Calvary Church Online.